Harper Audio presents The Burning Sky by Sherry Thomas, performed by Philip Batley. Just before the start of summer half, in April 1883, a very minor event took place at Eton College, that venerable and illustrious English public school for boys. A 16-year-old pupil, named Archer Fairfax, returned from a 3-month absence, caused by a fractured femur, to resume his education. Almost every word in the preceding sentence is false. Archer Fairfax had not suffered a broken limb. He had never before set foot in Eton. His name was not Archer Fairfax. And he was not, in fact, even a he. This is the story of a girl who fooled 1,000 boys, a boy who fooled an entire country, a partnership that would change the fate of realms, and a power to challenge the greatest tyrant the world had ever known. Expect magic. Chapter 1. Fire was easy. In fact, there was nothing easier. They said that when an elemental mage called forth flame, she stole a little from every fire in the world. That would make Iolanthe Seaborne quite the thief, gathering millions of sparks into one great combustion. That flame she sculpted into a perfect sphere 10 feet across, suspended above the rushing currents of the River Woe. She beckoned with her fingers. Streams of water shot up and arced over the fireball. Stray droplets gleamed briefly under the sun before falling into the flame, releasing sizzles of steam. Master Hayward, her guardian, used to love watching her play with fire. He had not been alone in his fascination. Everyone, from neighbours to classmates, had wanted her to show them how she made little fireballs dance upon her palm, the same way Iolanthe, as a child, had asked Master Hayward to wiggle his ears, clapping and laughing with delight. Master Hayward's interest, however, had run far deeper. Unlike others who simply wished to be entertained, he'd challenge her to make intricate, difficult patterns and draw entire landscapes with filaments of fire. And he'd say, "My, but that is beautiful," and shake his head with wonder, and sometimes something that felt almost like unease. But before she could ask him what was the matter, he'd ruffle her hair and tell her he was taking her out for ices. There had been 2 years during which they'd had many, many cups of ices together, lumenberry for him and pine melon for her, sitting by the window of Mrs. Hinderston's sweet shop on University Avenue, just a 5-minute walk from their house on the campus of the Conservatory of Magical Arts and Sciences, the most prestigious institution of higher learning in the entire domain. Iolanthe hadn't had pine melon ice in years, but she could still taste its tart, fresh tingle on her tongue. "My, but that is beautiful." Iolanthe started, but the voice belonged to a woman, Mrs. Needles, in fact, who cooked and cleaned for Master Hayward 3 days a week here in Little Grind-on-Woe, about as far from the conservatory as one could get without leaving the shores of the domain. Not that Master Hayward earned enough to hire help anymore, but some housekeeping had been included as part of his compensation. Iolanthe dissipated the fireball still hovering in the air above the fast, white-foamed river. She didn't mind juggling apple-sized handfuls of fire for the children, or providing a few garlands of dancing flames at Little Grind's solstice ball. But it embarrassed her to display her abilities to this extent, with enough fire on hand to burn down the entire village. "Unless you are actually performing at the majestic circus," Master Hayward had always urged her, "think twice about exhibiting your powers. You never want to appear a braggart, or worse, a freak." She turned round.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?